can happen to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard you will find to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh till your dreams fall apart at the seams. And life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth when you're young? For it's hard you will find to be narrow of mind when you're young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you derive out of being alive. And here's the best part, you'll have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
Listening to CKUT at 90.3 FM. Good afternoon and welcome to Older Women Live, feminist radio from an elderly perspective, on the air the second Wednesday of each month from 6 until 7. May is such a month of hope and renewal, with nature in bloom and humans too. It starts off with a bang, and the bang that I'm thinking of is May Day, with International Workers' Day, and the struggle, the constant struggle for decent working conditions, a living wage, dignity at work, and basic rights. When I was young, which was quite a while ago, we looked to the little island country of Cuba, which, after many years of struggle, had succeeded in overthrowing a brutal government in 1953 when Fidel Castro and his associates took power, and Fidel was there for 50 years. It was a beacon of light in the dark world of capitalist encroachment and colonization. Today we're going to look at Cuba and the May Day with our guest Christine Dandano from the Marxist-Leninist Party of Canada, who's just returned from spending May Day in Cuba. So welcome, Christine, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me to speak about this recent activity in Cuba.
Well, tell us, first of all, how was your trip?
A very good trip. It was 7 days, and with a delegation from Montreal, Gatineau, Ottawa.
So was it just women or?
No, a mix of people of different spheres.
From different associations.
Sphere of work. And we decided to go and be there for May 1st. And at the same time, there was an important activity in Cuba, in La Habana, which is called It was an international gathering of solidarity with Cuba and with an anti-imperialist accent.
Well, they really need people to go down now. I mean, when you read the regular media, if it's mentioned at all, it's always in a very negative way.
Yes, it is. It is because it's part of the U.S. activity that never accept that the Cuban people make their revolution and decide to establish a society where they can decide of their future, of their destiny, where they can defend their rights and organize society that it serves the interest of the people. So U.S. in the 60s never accept that. And part of it, in 1962, they impose criminal and inhuman blockade against Cuba that still is effective today with an intensification of the blockade, because maybe some people think that when Obama was the president of United States and decide to reestablish a diplomatic relation with Cuba, that it end the blockade. Never it happened. The U.S. blockade continue, and after that, when Trump took the power, and more specifically during the pandemic, he introduced 243 other measures.
My goodness.
Of the blockade in different sphere and aspect of life. And so this is the reality. The disinformation now is more and more intensive part of the blockade, because now they are doing also a lot of disinformation via social red.
Yeah.
Réseaux sociaux.
Yeah.
And part of it, they do it so many intensively. But the fact is that the Cuban people establish their society, establish their revolution, realize under those so difficult conditions, never abandon their principle. Life is not easy, it's for sure. Everybody can see, but the people have a say in the society, and they are defending their right to be.
Yeah.
And they are the one who can decide, not the U.S.
So they're spiritually nourished by their revolution.
Well, you can see that it's many facts and realization. Because the situation before the revolution, as you said, it was Batista dictate.
It was barbarism.
Barbarism. And so Fidel Castro, with a group of other comrades, organized from Mexico to go with the boat, the yak, Grama.
Yep.
And they have few munitions, how do you say, guns and things like that.
Yeah,
but the time was that the people were very enthusiastic and involved in that revolution. And the measure taken by the Cuban government is multifaceted. You can say that Cuba eliminate analphabetism.
Yeah, literacy. Yes, they had a huge literacy program.
They organize collective agriculture.
Yes.
They establish equality for all, in the sense that there's no discrimination between people. They are Cuban, that's it. And they establish free education, as everybody knows, free healthcare system. And it's getting improved more and more, and with a very strong reputation around the world. A lot of people go in Cuba for care, health care. And one of the things that you can see the force and innovation and determination of the Cuban people is that during the pandemic, they developed for their own vaccine. And there were less people who died. Still, they were affected. But they were forced anyway. They asked for international collaboration. But as you know, there's those measures of the blockade that's trying to, how do you say that?
Strangle them, yeah. yes.
The Cuban people, but they developed their own medicine, their own vaccine, and most of the people are vaccinated today. So you can see our determination and knowledge, because they are very knowledge people. Because
yeah, they're very, very cultivated people.
Yes.
I mean, I've been down there a few times, you know, like many, many people from Quebec, and maybe the rest of Canada, but certainly from Quebec, I've been down there many times. But it's a lot, lot more, as you say, than just sandy beaches and swimming.
Yeah, that's...
It really is. It really is. And when I was young, you see, I can remember the Cuban Revolution from 59. I mean, I was already 16 at that point. And it was such a beacon of light for us, you know. I mean, it was around the same time, I suppose, as... It was pre-Beatles. It was before the Beatles. And there was no television. We didn't have television. Television was very, very rare. It hadn't become in every living room yet. But the Cuban Revolution was really something that was so important to us, because this was during the time of, say, you know, this was just before Patrice Lumumba was murdered, and there were all kinds of things that went on. You know, the US, of course, was very, very busy making sure that they'd got all the commodities from all the countries, and of course Britain was major colonizer, of course, and it was really before there was a movement to decolonize. It was just starting. So for us, Cuba was a big beacon of light. It really was. So, yes, and I can remember once being down there, and it would have been, say, 82, 83, and I went to buy something in a pharmacy, and the woman there says, in English, she says, oh, she said, I've heard all about Quebec and the separatist movement, and how's this one and how's that one doing and what's happening there? Oh, my God. Sorry about that. And I was just surprised, you know, that somebody working in a pharmacy like that had such knowledge of Quebec.
So you want me to develop? So,
well, yes. I mean, no, I'm just to back up what said. They are
true.
Very cultivated.
Yes, very well. So that's the reason they are innovating in so many ways. And when they don't have it, they can... Because if you have to imagine that the blockade, I can give you some fact, very important fact.
I don't know how to turn it off.
The policy, this policy of the blockade has inflicted accumulated damage in current price that amount to $154.2 billion. Intervention on the resolution, that's part of the effect. And it's not only an issue of money.
You mean this is money that they're losing?
Yes, they are losing.
Oh, wow.
Because you have to know that there is the blockade that was adopted in 62. And when happened the fall of... L'Europe de l'Est.
Yeah.
East Europe.
That was like 1991.
In 1990.
Yes.
And right after that, the US, the propaganda was that Cuba is a satellite of Soviet Union, so it will fall. But and to go forward on that, they impose the law Torricelli that was adopted by the U.S. in 92, and then the Ellsbergen law that was adopted in 96, that consider that imposed extraterritorial activities with Cuba. So all the countries now in those days, all the company that want to have relation, economic relation with Cuba, if you find 10%, I think, of U.S. Shareholder or U.S. whatever, you will be pursued, or you have to, you will be pursued.
You'll be fined.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So it raised the level of difficulty, and a lot of the activity is done by the Cuban government to deal with that. It's not that you can say, oh, I don't care, I can, you know. It's
exactly.
A pressure that some banks, the same thing, have pressure from U.S. not to deal with Cuba, and they have measure taken against them if they do. So it's a day-to-day battle, because you never know. So that's the reason the Cuban people are very well organized in different ways. And in this sphere of external affair, it's a very important aspect of the difficulty they are facing. But meanwhile, as I told you, the healthcare system is very developed. And everybody have to know that Cuba has a great internationalism spirit, because since so many years, they established, Fidel Castro created the Henri Rives Brigade. It's a medical brigade. So they send those brigades in different countries where there's a need to help. Like there was the first one who respond to the call of l'OMS, l'Organisation Mondiale de la Santé. How do you say OMS? Healthcare Mondial
Doctors
Organization.
Doctors Without Borders?
International, no. OMS, Organisation Mondiale de la Santé.
Okay. The World Health Organization.
Yeah, they make
yes.
a call to everybody to go and fight Ebola. And
yes,
it was the first
right,
country
yes.
that answered and sent a brigade. And during the COVID, I know that the amount of, let me find my notes, there was, I think they served in 37 countries, brigade
yes,
that was sent during
yes.
the COVID, fighting with the COVID in their country. And because that their spirit and their principle is that everybody should help people. It's international, it's relation. You need help, I will be there. I won't send tanks or army or military army. I will send the need, what you need.
Health needs,
so
yes.
Health
yes.
needs. So they go in the area where ordinary doctors don't go. They are in Haiti, they went in Italy, they were, you know, they are
well,
all around.
Well, even before, this would be probably in the 70s or 80s, they were in Angola, you know.
Yes, yes, also.
They were in
yes.
Angola. I mean, nobody would go to Angola, there was a war on, but they went.
Yeah, they went.
Yes, yes.
So that have to be known. I was talking about the blockade, the U.S. blockade. So to come back to my trip, I was there to celebrate or to participate in the May Day activities.
Mm-hmm.
And historically or traditionally, each year, there's one day, May 1st, where all the people around the country send buses for a big one rally in La Havana. So this year, it was different, and I want to explain to you because
yes.
you know that it was postponed. It's a very impressive celebration, for sure, in Cuba, because it's like it's a festivity for everybody, celebrating
yeah.
the workers' movement, the workers internationally, the creator of the wealth, you know? So it's a really big signification. Everybody, it's a holiday for everybody. Everybody organized with the family, with the kids, with so many people going there, joining in La Havana. And this year, the decision was made to hold the celebration in all municipalities due to the other difficulties caused by the shortage of gasoline in particular, because that's part of also the blockade.
Mm-hmm.
They are facing that problem.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of bringing everybody from the municipality to the big May Day gathering in Revolution Square, the government proposed this form this year. But what happened? The day before May 1st, on April 30, there was, a storm. There was a lot of wind, torrential rain, requiring the attention of the people to restore electricity, clean up, pick up broken branches, prune broken trees, and all things like that. And so the decision was made to postpone the rally planned in Havana on Friday, May 5th. But 5 days later, the atmosphere, the celebration was with a beautiful sun, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning from our hotel, take the bus, and gathered everybody at 4:30. And it was very exciting because going in La Havane to the rendezvous, there was thousands already people in the street talking, chatting, Wow. Scooching music, and chanting Viva Fidel, Viva Raul, Viva Diaz-Canel, and going to the Malecón, because you know Malecón is a long, long street along the sea.
Yes.
And there was, the rendezvous this year was on the Malecón. And Malecón is a very historic place. I need to speak about that. It's a nearest historical and multitudinous activity were organized, media of them led by Fidel Castro, Ruz, to demonstrate Cuba's right to its sovereignty and independence.
Yes, yes. So we didn't hear anything.
Including
about
those
that.
Held to demand the return of the child, Alien Gonzalez, is a deputy.
Well, yeah, he must
and
have grown
for
up,
the struggle for the liberation of the 5 Cuban heroes that was spent, I think, 17 years in the prison of U.S. prison. Different prison for defending their country against terrorist attack. So this celebration was dedicated also for the heroism of the Cuban people.
Yeah.
And their, you can say, level of responsibility for them and for the people around the world, because everybody is looking for Cuba. What's going on? There's a lot of solidarity. I participate in the gathering on May 2nd. Maybe you want to make a stop and have a music, and
well,
then I
do.
Can
yes,
speak.
Yes,
yes,
we
because
do
I can speak and speak
yes,
and speak.
Yes, okay, well, this is great. So our first music, what's our first music, Joe?
Faith Nolan.
Oh, yes, okay. So we're going to hear the lovely Faith Nolan from Nova Scotia, who's been singing for 30 years at least. I love her voice.
Thank you. This year for the 9th annual Native Women's Shelter of Montreal Spirit Walk fundraiser, our theme is the idea that with strong foundations in place, space can be created for growth and new life. Join us for a walk on Mountain Road to raise funds so that women staying at the Native Women's Shelter will have access to a healing retreat and other workshops necessary to reground themselves, heal, and put solid foundations in place from which to move forward. Walk with us on June 10th on Mount Royal. For more information, search Spirit Walk MTL on Instagram or Facebook.
Okay, so that was Faith Nolan singing a song called QP, the Canadian Union of Public Employees. And we've just had this great big strike. I know it wasn't QP, it was PSAC, but labour movement is very, very, very important and needs all our help. If you're just joining us, you're listening to CKUT at 90.3 FM, Older Women Live, and I'm talking to Christine Dandano about Cuba and her recent trip. So, Christine, how far have we got?
Well, I can speak about the international situation, but the U.S., no, the UN position on the blockade.
Yes, well, yes, of course.
Since 30 years, without any stop, the United Nations General Assembly has voted overwhelmingly to support Cuba's resolution demanding an end to the U.S. blockade. Mm-hmm. This year marks the 61 year of the economic, financial, commercial sanction that made the U.S. blockade against Cuba and which Cuba has been forced to endure, and also this vote that is taken since 30 years. The result of the vote that was taken on November 3rd, 2022, was that 185 countries vote in support of this resolution to end the U.S. blockade, and two oppose. You can see U.S. and Israel.
Yes,
and two abstention this year was Brazil and Ukraine. This compares to the 2021 vote, where 184 countries voted in favor of the resolution, U.S. and Israel voting against, and Brazil, Colombia, and Ukraine abstaining.
I think what's interesting is that most of us, many, many people anyway, because of the media maybe, yeah, because of the media, they tend to think that reality is the U.S. of A., and it really isn't. As you're just
saying. That the U.S. what?
That the U.S. is the real thing. But it's not. Most people in the world, as you say, support Cuba.
Yes. Yes. There is thousands of organizations around the world that, for example, fight for the liberation of the five heroes that was in prison, in U.S. prison. There is activities going on in different countries, like in Quebec. We have a picket that is taking place each month in front of the U.S. Consulate to reclaim condemning the U.S. blockade. And
so when would the next one be, and where is it? It's at
it's on May 17th.
May 17th, yeah, that's next week.
And it's taking place in front of the consulate at 5 o'clock. It's 5 to 6.
And where's the consulate, for those that don't know?
On St. Catherine, corner of Peel.
Oh, yes, that's
yes,
right.
Yes,
yes. Right. Rather anonymous-looking building.
You remember?
Yes.
And also there is other activities. There is, how do you say that? A rally, a car. It's called a caravan. It's a car caravan that is organized each month, at the end of the month, every Sunday, and it's the caravan, it's cars that goes in the street and have their flag and their stickers and whatever, saying to no to the U.S. blockade. And the other issue is that, and that is a request of so many countries, is that Cuba was put on the list of terrorist countries.
Yes, that's absurd.
So
that's
another reclamation. Who decide? Who decide that? On
and
what
of course,
basis?
Israel is not on that list
exactly.
of terrorist countries.
So there's that kind of list that was invented by the U.S. to on the basis of... you're against me, or you're for me, or against me, as Bush said.
Bush said, yes.
Yeah. And so this is that spirit, and the reclamation of the countries is that Canada, Cuba should not be on this list. And because Cuba is
it's not
the opposite.
Yes, not a
opposite
yes.
to that. Never attack any country. Never yeah. invade or
never
aggress or
yes.
threaten, whatever. Never, never, never in his life. In the life of the Cuban Revolution. And so that's one aspect. And there was also a big effort that was made so that the Cuban Brigade, Medical Brigade, was put on the list to have the Prix Nobel in 2021.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And they didn't have the prize, but they gained the prize of Peace of the People in 2021, in the same period. So Cuba is recognized as an authority for fighting for peace, asking for a zone for peace in the Americas. And I can give you different... I can talk to you, if you want, about the gathering that took place in La Habana next
well,
year.
Well, I think it's so important that especially young people that are listening to us, Christine,
yeah.
Have got this information
mm-hmm.
on Cuba, you know, that they can just ignore what they read, if they read anything, in the regular media, so-called, because it's just not true.
No, it's not true. And the main thing is that... Anyway, we know that a lot of disinformation are done by the réseaux sociaux, social red.
Yeah, social media, yeah.
It's anything but not true, because it's blah, 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 and you have to know that aspect, that a blockade, U.S. blockade, since 62 years, in so many spheres, there was the period where they have organized bombing of hotel. There's a tourist from Montreal who was there. Its nationality was Italian, and he died in this bombardment, this attack at the hotel, and so many other people. And there is chemical activities against the plantation that was done by the U.S. So many things. So
done by the U.S., yes.
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 So it's a very... It's not only economic. It's an attack on the dignity. It's an attack on the... to so many propaganda to try to...
Bring down Cuba.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a good word.
I mean, what's happening now with the tourism? Are there a lot of tourists like there used to be? Or do you think, you know, people are maybe getting a bit nervous and they're not going down there?
No.
I can remember it was extremely, extremely safe because the people are in such solidarity with each other and they were not going to attack any foreign tourists because they were dependent upon the tourists. They were wonderful with us. Is it still like that?
Well, for sure, with the COVID, it create more difficulty.
Well, yeah,
because before, I think Quebec was the
country where that sent the most people.
Yes,
absolutely, it was.
But there are people from all part of the world who go to Cuba because it's quiet, because there's no.
Well, it used to be very, very safe. This was
it
the
is
thing.
Safe, and it's coming back, the tourism.
Okay, well, that's
and,
good.
And everybody is invited to go there and not believe the propaganda against the country.
Yeah, it was one of the few places where
this disinformation is done on purpose.
Of course it is.
To create insecurity, create a doubt, create whatever.
Given the blockade, given everything, one thing that was really important for them, one of the things, was the tourist industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was developed more after the fall of the U.S., the Soviet Union.
After 1991. Yeah. We used to go down there and we used to take things like toothpaste, which was quite expensive, and we would sort of, you know, gather something in a suitcase for the Cuban people, and they were so appreciative, you know. They're lovely, lovely people, and it was one of the few places where you could walk around at night, you know, at midnight, older woman.
Yeah.
And not be attacked.
Exactly. Because it's a cultivated people. And you know that 80% now of the people living in Cuba are people that were born after the revolution. So it means that...
That's all they know.
A lot, 20% only... live this period of revolution with Fidel Castro. 80% are new people, or it's a generation that learned in those conditions. So that's what they know, the U.S. blockade, and they know all the possibility and the potential, and they believe in the Cuban people, and they have developed relations with so many countries in the world. And in scientific, there's a lot of symposium on science, on education, on healthcare, on whatever. There's a lot of activity, exchange of knowledge, so that everybody learn and from Cuba and Cuba from other countries. So that's very important. They are not doing that on purpose of like the U.S. for specific interests, private interests. That's not the way it works in Cuba.
Yes, the people have got a real collective sense.
Yeah, that's a force of the people, because for sure it's facing the blockade. They continue to defend education. Everybody have a place to live, but situation is difficult.
Exactly.
For sure.
Well, let's stop there and have another song. And this is Ferron, who is from BC, and it's a song called "It Won't Take Long."
Some men would be warriors, and some men would be kings, and some men would be owners of land and other man-made things. And false love as the eternal flame would move some to think in rings, and gold would be our power, and other foolish things. You who dream of liberty must not yourselves be fooled. Before you get to plead for freedom, you have agreed to be in rule. If the body stays a shackle, then the mind remains a chain that'll link you to a destiny whereby all good souls are slain. And it won't take long, it won't take too long at all. And you may say, what does that have to do with me? And I say, you may not tell me that's all. Of three men in a desert wandering, one is knowing and two are scared. They say time is in the river, but the river is not there. Dry in spirit, dry in body, two will lend themselves to death. And in grief one weeps into his hands and drinks his bitter tears, 'cause it don't take long. It don't take too long at all. It don't take long. And you may say, I don't know what you're talking about. And I say, you mean to tell me that's all? And as I stand before you now, I am hopeful in my upon its stage, but still smaller than my nightmare now, who I print upon the page. Do we have to live inside its walls to identify the page? 'Cause it takes so long. Why does it take so long? But it takes so long. And you may say, I don't really care what you're talking about. And I say, are you trying to say it don't belong? Daughter, but I have seen myself in you. It's this blessing that I follow now, and so I must speak true. I dreamed of thousands dying. It was you and you and you. And while the city sleeps so quietly, there is something we must do, and it won't take long.
So that was Ferron from the West Coast singing It Won't Take Long. I'm speaking with Christine Dendano about Cuba. So tell us, Christine, about the Fidel Castro Center.
Yes, 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 with pleasure. It's during my trip, I think it's one of the best thing I visit, okay. Best place I visit. This center was open, prepared before the COVID, but it was open after the pandemic. And it's in La Havana, and it's a center dedicated to Fidel Castro, who died 6 years ago.
I think, yeah. Wow, time goes fast.
Yeah, yes. And the particularity of this center is that it's a very old house that was renovated totally. And inside the museum or the center, it's ultra modern,
okay,
ultra interactive, ultra instructive.
Okay,
you visit the first floor. There's a place where all the gifts that received Fidel are there. You can
displayed.
See them because mm-hmm. it was given to the Cuban people, not personally to him.
Yeah,
because he was the leader of the country. So this is one room. And there is, it's difficult to describe, but I will try to give you
the feeling
and the enthusiasm to visit that place too. There is a quotation of Marti or Castro or Diaz-Canel or other important person that change on a wall. And you go... You can visit the exposition present the life of Fidel Castro in three parts: when he was young, when he organized before the revolution, and what was his accomplishment after. And so there is pictures that, for example, I will try to describe it from when he was young. There's a wall with different date and pictures, a lot of pictures at your right. If you touch one of the picture, you have it openly.
Oh, wow.
And it gives the link with the date and the information. What is this picture? What was happening there? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. So that's very interactive. But in the second stairs, there's a room that you have. You have behind you a big wall with the world map. The world...
the map of the world, yeah.
Yeah. And in front of you, you have a table. It's and behind, for example, there's a tube from Canada. For example, I take Canada. You take that tube, you put it on the table, and automatically it will give you, you can see the country, the type of government, the population, the superficie, and then you click again, and then you have the place in Canada where Fidel went, the occasion, the picture, the speech he gave, if there is an exposition about him, it shows it. So you can have a sea of everything that happened around Fidel or what he did in the world.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It can be a country where he didn't went, but there's an organization there, or there's a statue or a monument.
A presence of Cuba.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
yes, yes.
It's very, very lively. And all the time you walk and you have pictures of different events where he was during the... There is a film done on the battle, La Baie des Cochons.
Oh, yeah, the Bay of Pigs. Yes, the Bay of Pigs.
So they win that battle in 72 hours.
Yes, maybe we can just talk about what the Bay of Pigs was.
Well, it was first activity of the U.S. to invade Cuba. Try
yes,
to invade Cuba thinking that Cuba, Fidel Castro is nothing.
Yes, it would take 10 minutes. And, of course, it didn't. Yes.
No, they fell. They have to go back and so the film explained the strategy that was developed in a military way and how the people participate in that with the direction of Fidel Castro. So all the museum is very lively like that.
Oh, it sounds really interesting. So
there was another part. Bless me. Will go and see it, eh?
Yeah, we're going to go.
There's
and see
another
it.
Part that you can see, for example, education. So what was the situation before the revolution? What are the law that was adopted in what year that decide this, analphabetism, what was organized, in education, in science, in so many fields. So you can enjoy, it's not specifically the issue of the man, but what the country realized, and he was a leader of that.
He was.
So I invite everybody
to go
and visit that place if they go to Havana. Because you can pass a day. And also, there's a park, a garden outside when you go out.
Wow.
It's part of the center Fidel Castro.
So
and there's different also explanation outside with the sun, with the birds, with the beautiful people around you. So
well, it sounds wonderful.
Yes,
well,
it is.
They must have had something about Fidel and Pierre Trudeau, did they? I mean, he came up here.
But I didn't...
You didn't realize,
no.
Yes, because he came up for the funeral of Pierre Trudeau. Wow, and what was the other topic that you wanted
Well, the
to...
other topic is that during the week, last week, there was the International Meeting of Solidarity with Cuba,
okay.
Where we
Tell
went on
that.
May 2nd. And this meeting was held at Palace of Congress, in which all the international delegates participated. It means 1,000 delegates from how many countries? I will tell you, I have it in not. But anyway, from many countries. I can find the information.
Wow.
And I was there with a delegation from Montreal, Gatineau, and Ottawa. And we had the honor to listen to the President of the Republic, Manuel Díaz-Canel, mm-hmm. who raised many points in this presentation, because it was a gathering to different people speak, but mainly I want to talk to you about what Manuel Díaz-Canel said, because he make an overview. Our delegation was able to see the courage of the Cuban people in mm-hmm. spite of this criminal blockade, which deprived Cuba and its people of food, medicine, chemical, terrorist attack, and prevent them from living a normal life and making the country flourish. So it's despite this blockade that the Cuban people collectively achieve incredible things, innovating in all fields. And when Díaz-Canel opened the discussion or speak, he said, "Welcome, everyone. Feel at home. Mm-hmm. Cuba is and will always be the homeland of the workers, because in Cuba it is the workers who hold the power. Not king, not billionaire, not representative of any oligarchy. The Cuban workers." And this is the stand of Cuban of Cuba. And it's just that phrases. Well, everybody clapped, everybody was happy.
Of course.
Because we are all have to deal with those kings as the during the weekend. Those billionaires and those kind of type of government that impose their power.
Yes, okay, exactly.
Not the people. On April, he said, anyway, on April 28, 2 centuries have passed since John Quincy Adams, then Secretary of State and later President of the Union, defined for Cuba his theory of ripe fruit.
Yes, that's
and
American,
I quote,
yes.
"There are laws of political gravitation as there are laws of physical gravitation, and just as a fruit separated from its tree by the force of the wind cannot, even if it wished to, fail to fall to the ground. So Cuba, once separated from Spain and the artificial bond that unites it to Spain broken, is unable to sustain itself, must necessarily gravitate towards the American Union and toward it exclusively, while the Union itself, by virtue of the law itself, will find it impossible not to admit it to its bosom." So he declared how wrong Adams was.
Yes, yes. Because Cuba, of course, became totally independent and a real...
Well, they make a lot of battle against U.S. Invasion.
Yeah.
And they take their stand. Yeah. And we know that Batista was a puppet, you know?
Yes, of course.
So... Do you want me to continue, or you want to listen to music?
Well, maybe we should have the third song that we've chosen, which is Pauline Julien. Now, Pauline Julien, of course, was from she lived in Montreal
yes.
for years and years, and she had a lovely, lovely voice, and she was very close to members who were. What should we say? They were independentists. They were for the independence.
With the day.
Of Quebec, yes. And she has a beautiful voice. Her song is Une sorcière comme les autres. I don't know if her.
S'il vous plaît, soyez comme le duvet. Soyez comme la plume d'oie des oreillers d'autrefois. J'aimerais ne pas être corps de fée. S'il vous plaît, faites-vous léger. Moi, je ne peux plus bouger. Je vous ai porté vivant. Je vous ai porté enfant. Dieu, comme vous étiez lourd, pesant votre poids d'amour. Je vous ai porté. Mon cœur ou bien le leur est-ce ma mère ou la vôtre? Une sorcière comme les autres. Il vous faut être comme le ruisseau, comme le clair de l'étang qui reflète et qui attend. S'il vous plaît, regardez-moi, je suis vrai, je vous prie, ne m'inventez pas, vous l'avez tant fait déjà. Vous m'avez aimé servante, m'avez voulu ignorante, forte vous me combattiez, faible vous me méprisiez.
Well, unfortunately, our time has once again trickled away. But we have had a beautiful discussion with Christine Dandenault, and we thank you very much for coming, Christine, and enlightening us on your recent beautiful week in Cuba. We are leaving you to the sounds of Pauline Julien from Montreal and her song Un Sorcier Comme Les Autres, which, as Christine pointed out, is for women, a woman's song. So stay tuned for the next programme, which is a mandala.
Je vous ai rêvé depuis longtemps, libre et fort comme le vent, libre aussi, regardez, je suis ainsi, apprenez-moi, n'ayez pas peur, pour moi, je vous sais par cœur. J'étais celle qui attend, mais je peux marcher devant, j'étais la bûche et le feu, l'incendie aussi je peux. J'étais la déesse mère, mais je n'étais que poussière. J'étais le sol sous vos pas, et je ne savais pas. Mais un jour, la terre s'ouvre, et le volcan n'en peut plus. Le sol se rompt, on découvre des richesses inconnues. La mer, à son tour, divague de violence inemployée.
Welcome back to Amanda here on CQUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, and welcome back Duha, who was here with us last week. Duha, you and I had a very interesting but difficult conversation last week about the heart-wrenching and complicated situation in Sudan for our listeners who did not manage to hear that conversation, I heartily encourage you to go and take a listen to it. But Dua, you're back with us this week because in the meantime, you've been involved in organizing a couple of important actions around this issue. So perhaps we could start with the letter that you have put out there.
Yeah, thank you. So this is a letter, an open letter. It's called Egypt Support for Those Fleeing Violence in Sudan. And this letter can be found on the website eyesonsudan.net. And so basically the letter is addressed